Sage NDEC users are still waiting for Rev 96, but Sage plans to throw something extra in the package. Congress is trying to ward off a government shutdown as the deadline draws closer. A $500,000 dinger for two AM stations that did not properly identify and log paid political programs. All of that and the January open meeting agenda coming right up.
REC, FCC Today, Nietzsche Bradley.
This is FCC Today for Thursday, January 18, 2024. Yesterday, Sage Alerting Systems provided an update to its customers regarding upcoming updates to FEMA security certificates. The security certificates are used to authenticate the alerts that are received by the EAS decoder using the Internet-based Integrated Public Alert Warning System, or IPAWS. The current certificates expire on April 14 and April 28 of this year. Sage has announced that the updated certificates have been tested and they will be included in the Rev 96 update when that is released. Sage states that they are wrapping up the Rev 96 release and should have additional information in a few days. Rev 96 is the first major firmware update for Sage NDEC units in a long time. This revision will implement the FCC mandates ordered in 2022, including the cap polling requirements. The Rev 96 update has been plagued with delays in its release. In a historic move late last year, REC Networks and the National Association of Broadcasters joined forces to ask the FCC to extend the mandate deadline so stations can meet the cap polling requirement in light of the Sage delivery delay. The FCC granted the request limited to only users of the Sage NDEC from December 12, 2023 to March 11, 2024. The New York Times is reporting that this afternoon, the U.S. Senate, by a vote of 77 to 18, has passed a stopgap spending bill intended to ward off a possible government shutdown that would have started on Saturday, January 20. This bill will fund federal agencies until early March. The House will take up the bill later today. It's the Michi. FCC Today, the podcast, is released when possible on Mondays through Thursdays based on the amount of news available and our operational capacity. If you love what we do, please visit the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel where you can find our episodes. Please remember to like and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Town Square Media, licensee of KLIX-AM, Twin Falls, Idaho, and KIDO-AM, Nampa, Idaho, will pay $500,000 as part of a consent decree to settle issues related to sponsorship identification and political file violations. An investigation by the FCC had revealed that from October 2021 through March 2023, Town Square presented an hour-long program that resembles a news interview public affairs program produced by the station when, in fact, the programs were paid political presentations. Town Square was paid to broadcast episodes of the program and related advertisements, initially on behalf of the Idaho Republican Party, and then later by Tom Luna on behalf of a company doing business as Tom Luna and Associates. The shows were hosted by Luna and Victor Miller, chairman of the Ada County, Idaho Republican Party. According to the consent decree, the programs did not include any sponsorship identification for a vast majority of the episodes. In addition, multiple episodes contained appearances that constituted uses by legally qualified candidates for public office and communicated messages relating to political matters of national importance. Neither station uploaded records of any such candidate uses or messages into their respective online public files. In addition to the $500,000 civil penalty, Town Square will be required to set up a compliance plan with periodic compliance reports being made to the FCC. The FCC has also reached a consent decree with Community Services Broadcasters Incorporated, licensee of WTCA and related translator W291 Bravo Quebec, Plymouth, Indiana. In August 2011, Kenneth E. Kuntz, who held 50% of the voting stock in community service, transferred his shares to a revocable living trust without prior commission approval. Then, after his death on December 8, 2020, Catherine E. Botroff, who held the remainder of the stock, became the successor trustee of the trust, acquiring 100% voting control of community service. Community Service did not notify the commission of his death nor file a transfer of control application for the changes in ownership until June 27, 2022. As part of the consent decree, Community Service will pay a civil penalty of $8,000. On the January open meeting agenda, the FCC will consider a restricted adjudicatory matter for the Media Bureau. While we don't know exactly what this matter is, it is likely a decision regarding an adjustment in points from the 2021 non-commercial educational filing window. There are currently 9 groups of mutually exclusive applications that are currently being challenged, including 4 groups where points or the tiebreaker are at issue. All decisions related to points in LPFM and NCE filing windows must be handled by the full commission. Other items on the January 25 open meeting agenda include a report and order and further notice of proposed rulemaking regarding improving network reliability, resiliency, and transparency during disasters. A report and order on improving wireless 911 calling, including location-based routing. An order on reconsideration relating to mitigating orbital debris to support space innovation, and a report and order and further notice of proposed rulemaking related to modernizing and expanding access to the 70, 80, and 90 gigahertz band. The FCC will also consider 5 enforcement bureau actions, so expect a dinger fest on next Thursday's episode. The open meeting will start at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time and will be streamed at fcc.gov/live.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please like and subscribe if you love this kind of stuff. We're also available on Podbean and many other podcast providers. Look for new episodes Monday through Thursday when there is news. Keep up to date with happenings in the Media Bureau and the rest of the FCC at fcc.today. REC Networks is always on at recnet.com. For now, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Good night from Riverton.
REC. REC. FCC Extra. BG Bradley.
You know, sometimes the English language can do some weird things, especially when you're under the gun and in front of a microphone and you're trying to read a script. And just as a matter of full disclosure, because, you know, REC is about as much full disclosure as we can give. And also to demonstrate that this program is actually being done by a human and not being recorded by AI. I'm going to play my attempt to read one word that some might find very easy, but for some reason, my tongue did not find it that easy. The word is orbital. Here's how it sounded the first several times. An order on reconsideration related to mitigating orbital... An order on reconsideration related to mitigating orbital... I can't say that word, orbital. An order on reconsideration related to mitigating orbital debris... An order on reconsideration related to mitigating orbital... Orbital. An order on reconsideration related to mitigating orbitable... Orbital. Why such a hard word? An order on reconsideration related to mitigating orbital. You know, I'm going to change the spelling in here, so maybe it will get me to read it different. Orbital. An order on reconsideration relating to mitigating orbital debris to support space innovation. Okay, upon reflection, I know that I could have, instead of saying orbital, I could have just said space junk, and you probably all would have known what the heck I was talking about. But you know, this is FCC Today, the podcast. I've got to sound like all serious and stuff like that, you know? You know, space junk just doesn't fly on L Street the way that orbital debris does. So there. Okay, I think we've got this down. Good night from Riverton, this time, really.